So we're going to begin tonight's shiur, which will be on Shema Koleinu Yitzei in Sechazena, with the dedicate tonight's shiur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should Shema should hear our kolos as we daven for the safety and the security of everybody in Eretz Yisrael, those on the border with Gaza, those further away, and all the chayalim should be able to return home safely to their families very quickly. The Baruch of Shema Koleinu, what does it mean that Hashem should hear Koleinu? So there are different expressions. Kol, the Mefarshim explain, is, Rav Shteinman Zatzal explains that Shmias Kol is not really enough. Right? We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just to hear it, we want him to respond to it, to grant our request. We're davening for things. This is the Baruch of Shema Koleinu is in the middle section of Shemoneh Esrei, where we're davening for stuff. So we don't just want Hashem to hear it. We want Hashem to be mekabel, to accept it, and then to respond. So we say Shema Koleinu, Hashem should hear our kol. What's a kol? A voice, right? It's a sound. Not what we could say.
It's more than a sound. I mean, if you talk about Kol Shofar,
right.
Yaakov, it's an innermost yearning.
Right.
It's deeper than... A sound is... It's a sound.
Okay.
This is... It's a kind
you're
of
right. You're spot on. But what is it not? What is a Kol not? In the context of everything else that we're doing, what is this... What is a kol not?
It's not really physical. It's not the physics of making noise.
Nor is it necessarily words that you would find in a dictionary.
Be careful of physics and noise.
He's going to school you if you go there. He's going to start talking about the vibration of noise and sounds and eardrums and who knows? This guy wants to go to Florida. You're going to make him stay here longer. Shema Koleinu, not Shema Tfilaseinu. It's not that Hashem, we want you to hear our tefillos. There's something about a kol, you're right. It's not just the sound, a knock. It's not just something that reverberates on the eardrum in our ears. It's something more, it could be primitive at times. It could be instinctive at times. There are different ways that a kol...
Primal is a word that's used.
Okay. So we say v'kabel barachem muvaratzon es tefilaseinu in the middle of this bracha, which is in distinction to the beginning of Shema Koleinu. Here our cry, call, perhaps is a better word. Maybe that's really what a better way of explaining it. We'll get to a second distinction in a moment, but here our call. We're calling out, Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chus V'Rachim Aleinu, and then, right, have Rachmanos on us, compassion on us, and then accept our tefillos willingly. So what is this Shema Koleinu? Rav Shteinman explains, Kol Ein Mashmu'uso Dafka L'Dibur Emilim. It's not just the words that we recite. Elegam B'li Milim Nikra Kol. V'gam Bal Chai Mashmim Kolos. Every living creature is able to emit certain sounds. So what is this sound? So there, I would suggest that there are times in a person's day when it's on a very difficult day when we articulate things in a nonverbal way. And you want to say it's primitive, it gets back to our animalistic instinct if you, which is not a Torah idea. So primal. It's something, it's deep. There's real depth to it. And it's not necessarily something that we can articulate. Sometimes a sigh, a groan, a krechts, there are different ways of expressing our feelings, our emotions.
A plea.
A plea. But a plea is a... No.
In this case, I think it's a plea.
Yeah? I think a plea is a more structured, here's my argument, here's why I'm pleading with you to grant me this. This is more of a... I don't know. You think about somebody who's... Klal Yisrael, the people who are... The soldiers who are on the front lines. I saw a video. Somebody shared a video with me. Hamas is literally scoping out this bus. And they're watching soldiers get off of it. And you have to imagine They're in the process of like loading up it was an anti-tank missile that they fired at a coach bus that a minute before, 90 seconds earlier, had dozens of Israeli soldiers on it. And Baruch Hashem, they probably couldn't get it that quickly, or their aim wasn't accurate enough. And they were only able to fire at it once it came fully into view and they had a clear shot of the side of the bus. And you're thinking, in those moments, who's tfilos, who's primal calls for protection of the chayalim on the front lines is protecting them that nothing's happening. But you can see the video is basically through a Hamas terrorist binoculars looking across the border with direct line of sight of Israeli soldiers, and ultimately they blow up the bus. So the call is, when you see that, the soldier's reaction to that is not necessarily verbal. It's a call to protect us from terrorists, to keep everybody safe, the boys who are on the front line. Habakasha de'afilu im lo mechavnim. So Rav Steinman says, even if we don't have enough kavana, right? We think about shalom, sim shalom, shalom rav. We just said shalom rav together in Maariv. So we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant peace to the world. Now, am I thinking about the front in Gaza? What about the border with Lebanon? What about the border with Syria, the Golan Heights? What about Jordan? What about the West Bank? There's so many different things, let alone our own shul here in Chutz La'aretz, in Galus, and every other shul that's potentially in harm's way. Who knows? So I can't articulate all of that, but I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I daven for something, whether it's a refuah shalema for somebody, whether it's parnasa, whether it's that people should have healthy children, that people should have nachas from their children, that people should be able to drive to and from work safely, that they should have parnasa, all the things that we daven for, menuchas hanefesh, all these things, we can't necessarily articulate all of them very clearly. But we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not for this specific tefillah, but Shema Koleinu. Hear my voice. My voice is crying out in various ways, verbally and otherwise, that I'm dependent on you for salvation, for protection, for all of these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishma Es Hamilim, Hashem hears the words. U'v'derech Mashal, says Rav Steinman, Efshel Lefarish Kamo Tinok. You have a baby, Hatzoek U'Bocha. There's a baby crying. V'anashim Lo Mavinim, Maritzona. What does the baby want? Right? Is the baby tired? Is the baby hungry? Is the baby sad? Did the baby get hurt? What's going on? Aval imo mevina maritzono. The mother can differentiate between a hungry cry, a tired cry, an attention cry, attention-seeking cry. There are lots of different nuances. The tone can be different. The intensity of the cry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears all that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehu avinu, Hashem is our Father, mevin es bakasha seinu. He understands. He can discern the difference between those cries, even though we're not verbalizing it. V'ritzono yisparach sheyispalu lefanav. And all Hashem wants is for us to daven to Him. Why? Because that's an acknowledgement of the relationship that we have. That we're in this situation, we're in this predicament, we're in this simcha, whatever it might be, good, bad, neutral, we come to daven because we have this relationship and everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Ultimately, tefillah coming before God is an acknowledgement in and of itself that we are dependent on Him and nobody, no other being. The person who davens and sublimates themselves before God comes closer in the process to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu in response, not in return, but in response to our coming forward here, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear us, to understand the things that we can't articulate. Perhaps you're davening in a minyan, you don't have enough time. It's mincha, in the middle of the day, you don't have time to go through all the things that you're asking for, but Hashem can understand that cry. He hears the cry during the day that's not maybe in the context of tefillah. That's also a call that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to respond to. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about, the primal. It's you're talking about an animal in the wild.
Right.
And it doesn't articulate with words, but it's that inner plea for lack of a better word.
Right. On a night like tonight, right? The animal is cold. The animal is looking for shelter. The animal is looking for companionship. The animal is looking for solitude. Who knows what it is? But there's something. So Hashem should be able to interpret that call.
But are you asking it? You're not asking this for yourself. You're asking it for Kol Yisrael.
Right.
It's not Shema Koli.
That's correct. So you also have grander ideas of davening, crying. When we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't articulate all the things that the Jews in Israel, the Jews in France, the Jews in America, the Jews that are still suffering in Pittsburgh, the Jews that are suffering in California with the fires. You think about the amount of tsar that Klal Yisrael is in. That,
and evacuated the yeshiva.
I'm sure. And the shuls as well. It's very tough. So do you have all those kavanas in your head when you say Shema Koleinu? I don't. Maybe you do. You have a much sharper, broader mind than I do. I can't put all of those together at one time. I can think of them sporadically during the day, and maybe in different points in one Shemona Esrei, but to put it all together, it's tough.
Is there any juxtaposition using the word Shema, taking the opposite side from Shema Yisrael, where we're told Shema?
Mm-hmm.
Now here, we turn it around.
I hear the question. I haven't seen anything on that.
The same word,
right?
So it's one thing.
But again, because this bracha, we can contrast Shema Koleinu to the next portion of Shemona Esrei, which is Ritzei. Shema Koleinu is in the Bakasha, the request section of Shemona Esrei. Ritzei is in the Hoda'a question, the acknowledgement and thanking God. So this is still very much us focus. It's coming from us. We're asking something of Hashem. It's not an acknowledgement necessarily, right? Whereas the brach of Gevuros, we're talking about Tchias HaMesim, we're talking about Mashiv HaRuach, or lots of other things, that's an acknowledgement. And that would be an appropriate place perhaps for a Shema, which that we listen, we haskes to Shema, we pay close attention to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, is the one creator of the whole world. But I don't think that would fit within the context of this bracha.
Maybe it's encompassing the previous bracha.
Perhaps. Right. The kol would be all the other bakashas combined. Rav Schwab explains that we should know that there's a difference between tefillah and techina, which is not a word that we find here. Chus v'rachim aleinu v'kabel barachim v'ratzon es tefillah seinu. It's not techina seinu. So tefillah comes from the mind, and a techina, a request, really comes from the heart. Something that's more heartfelt. And we say both. That Hashem hears our prayers and our beseeching God.
It doesn't say how
are pleadings.
Prayers.
Hmm?
It's tefillos without the possessive.
Yeah, but it is plural because it could be tefillah. Kikel shamea tefillah. It's plural. Because it refers, Shrav actually explains, I wasn't planning on mentioning this, so we're jumping ahead a little bit, that it's referring to all the tefillos of humanity, not just of Klal Yisrael. That, which is interesting, because you would think that it would be the other way. The kol would be what Hashem is responding to, and Hashem would uniquely respond to the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, but that's what he says. So the Shemona Esrei is a tefillah, the tachanunim ata, is referring to the tachanun that follows Shemona Esrei, and the difference between the two is that tefillah from palel has a connotation of thinking. Ra'uf anecha lo pilalti, that I never thought I would see your face again. V'nasan beflilim, the pasuk in Sefer Shemos. So palel conveys the idea that they think about the case and render a decision. Tefillah means to use our process of thinking. And therefore, just saying tefillos without kavana, without having, you know, a focus, without intent, and what it means is not really meaningful. Now, we know, we said at the beginning of this series, that davening with the matzbeah, shetavu b'chachamim, the verbiage that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah coined for us, is itself meaningful in a way that we can't even begin to understand. So even if you don't understand the literal explanation of the words, there's still some benefit. But without kavana at all, and focusing on what you're saying and just saying the words as if it's a phone book, that's really not meaningful. The general kavana, the general mindset during davening, during Shmona Esrei, is that we're aware that every minute of our lives and everything that we have and all of our sustenance and our chiyus, our life, literally is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu listening to our tefillos. And a person doesn't necessarily know what the next moment will bring, right? Those soldiers get off the bus, and somebody sent me an audio clip today of a soldier who was on the bus and got off, and he said, you know, keep davening for us, because were it not for the tefillos and the learning and the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael does, 10 seconds would have made all the difference. A lot of people could have, Rachmana Litzlan, been in a very different place. So one is completely dependent on the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our survival, for our sustenance, for our success. And when we stand before Hashem in tefillah, we have to be aware that, you know, at any moment our heart could stop. Anything could happen in the blink of an eye. So it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who makes our heart beat, who helps us see, hear, talk, think, walk, feel, act, and protects us. You think back to, you know, the fires that are, you know, they jump across, the wind is blowing so quickly. A terrorist comes into a shul. In a blink of an eye, everything is fine. You're davening, the door is locked. Everything is fine, and all of a sudden, life changes in the blink of an eye. So we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should hear that we need to have that kavana. The tachanunim, the supplications which come from the heart, from one's feelings and emotions. It was used by Chana in her tefillah as she was davening for a son who she named Shmuel. V'chana hi medaberas aliba. She was speaking to her heart. And she was trying to connect the intellect with the heart. V'eshboch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. And she pours out her soul before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech also says, Eshboch lefanav sichi tzarasi lefanav agid. He said in Tehillim, in Eis Tzara, that Hashem, I pour out my heart to you. I pour out all of my words to you, and I declare my suffering before you. And so in this tefillah, we pour out our hearts, our bitterness, our frustration, and our hope and yearning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should hear us and he should protect us. Shema Kolenu. So Rav Schwab also says that we don't say hear our tefillah. He says we should hear our voice. The voice could not mean the sound of our tefillah, because Shmona Esrei said quietly. Right? You say it in a whisper. So Hashem can't hear the kol. That's not the kol that it's referring to. Rather, the voice of our tefillah refers to the kavana and the thought that we put into our tefillah. This is a very different pshat than Rav Steinman. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen not merely to the words that we say, but to our kavana, our intent, while we say them. And it's this voice, the thought, the emphasis that we put into it. And every tefillah is going to be different. Our emphasis that we put in is, they're always emerging needs. So these needs, this kavana that we have, gives these tefillahs our true meaning. So he says, a mashal, a son sends a telegram, say a text message nowadays, an email, a fax. I said the word fax to my kids. What is that? Father, send me money. Right? Four words. So when you see, when the father receives this, he gets very upset. He goes to the Rav to complain that his son is so inconsiderate. All he wants is money from his father. He's milking him for all he can. And he asks his rabbi for guidance. So the rabbi asks to see it. And he says, you didn't read it properly. Here's what it says. Exactly. In a pleading, heartfelt tone, you know, I've done everything that you've asked for me. I spent the money on the tzedakah that you asked, but now I need money for myself. It's a whole different read. And you can't get that tone from a text message or the written word. And so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear the tone that we put into the tefillah. And that's something that's really unique. Because every person in this shul is going to say the same exact words. In fact, every person who davens Nesach Ashkenaz is saying the same exact words. But nobody davens like you do. Nobody has the tone that you have, the kavanos that you have, the intent of what it really means. That's what makes it unique. And so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Kolenu Hashem Elokeinu Chusur Achim Aleinu. It takes on a totally different meaning than if it was really rattled off as if you're reading the newspaper or a phone book, which happens at times, but is not ideal. Mekabel Baracham Muvratzon Estefila Seinu. So Steinman says, Mashmed Shayach Shatfila Tiskabel Baracham in Velo Baratzon. Right, what are we asking? We ask Hashem to accept our tefilos berachamim with mercy. Uveratzon es tefilos seinu. So he says, Mashal l'maha davar doma, to l'famim adam avakesh davar v'nostan lo. Sometimes a person asks for something and they receive it. Afal pishalo ahuvim oso. Even though the person who's giving it doesn't really want to. You asked me for tzedakah. There was a person here Sunday morning collecting tzedakah in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. So I don't know that people wanted to give him at that point. It's inconsiderate to be collecting in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. You come back later. But I couldn't tell him to come back because I wasn't allowed to speak. So people were like, okay, here, I'm giving it to you. That's not Baratzon. You're coming around. I feel badly that you have to come collect tzedakah. You must have a really major need that you would bring yourself down to a level where you're begging people for tzedakah money. So okay, I'm going to give to you. Not out of love, but this is the Ratzon Hashem. This is why Hashem gave me money this morning. So sometimes people get angry. You're disturbing my davening. Here, take a dollar and get out of here. So that's another way to respond to somebody's request. So he says the same thing holds true with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, we ask for things, and Hashem receives our tefillos, and He fulfills our requests sometimes for various reasons. Sometimes it's half-hearted. Not that Hashem has a heart, but okay, here, just leave me alone. But sometimes Hashem says, oh, you have chasavos, you had a good day, you learned Torah, you deserve it, you're davening with kavana today, you understand that this is the only way you're going to get it. From that, kabel barachamim, Hashem responds with mercy. I see that you're so connected to me. Of course I'm going to give it to you. I'd love to give it to you. Biratzon. Your ratzon is my ratzon. My ratzon is your. You've been able to align, which is one of the most challenging things, to align your will with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course you're going to get it. And so Hashem is going to respond favorably and kind. Or sometimes it's not. And nonetheless, Hashem responds. Okay. So we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers our tefillos in the affirmative. Hashem gives us health and sustenance and wealth and whatever else that we ask of Him. But sometimes for His own reason, Hashem says no. And so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if the answer to our tefillah or our kol ultimately is no, then at least don't send us away empty-handed. What does that mean? Don't make me feel like this is all for naught. Show me something. There's got to be some redeeming value. Now, this is a little bit chutzpahdik to ask of Hashem. That we deserve to, when He says no, which means we don't deserve it right now, or it's not the right time, and we have to keep davening further, or we have to keep doing other mitzvos that are going to change, tip the scales a little bit. So we ask Hashem, don't make me feel like this is all in vain. At least let our hearts be filled with emunah and bitachon that we have had the schus to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He heard our tefillah, whether or not He answers us favorably. And that's partially up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and partially up to us. At the level of emunah and bitachon that we have, knowing that this is the way that I plead to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's up to me. And if I don't get it, so it's really my perspective. Am I going to say I feel rejected by God? You can feel that way, and sometimes we feel distant, but it doesn't mean that Hashem hasn't heard our tefillah, or that Hashem is rejecting our tefillah. He's perhaps rejecting the request at the current moment. Maybe it's not appropriate for us. And we remind ourselves that whatever Hashem does is for the best, and He loves us. And sometimes love means saying no. When I tell my almost 2-year-old, I say no, so he runs to somebody else. So usually I'm the one saying no, his sister gives it to him. So tonight, somebody else said no to him, he ran to me. Abba, what happened? No, somebody said no. So that happens. We run to other people, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. And it's heartbreaking, and sometimes it's literally tragic. And we see terrible, and we hear about terrible things to ourselves, to our family, to our friends. But that doesn't mean that Hashem, we should try and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to help us walk away empty-handed. And I think that part of it is not only up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should give us the circumstances where we're able to strengthen our emunah, that we should have something to hold on to. I spoke 2 weeks ago about the person whose wife passed away, and he said, sometimes you're overwhelmed with grief, with feelings of distance, and you don't feel like Hashem is listening to you. But that doesn't mean that you can't have emunah, that tomorrow is going to be a different day, that there's going to be something that I can feel connected to. And so we look at Chana, and Chana says, Ufaneha lo hayula od. Navi says that she, her face was no longer sad when she was begging for her son. So although she's not sure that her tefillah is going to be answered, she nonetheless leaves with the feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard her tefillah and relies on his judgment. And I think that's really what, when a person finishes Shmona Esrei, you put it all on the line. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you hear my kol, you hear my tefillos, you hear my tachanunim, all of it. Whatever it is that I'm sending your way, I left it all here, and now I'm done. I've done my part. And I walk away feeling like, you know, that was the most I could do. That was my Avodah Shebelev.
No, I said, Eli didn't think the same thing.
No, the Navi says, Ufaneha lo hayu la'od. I know that, but her face, she no longer looked visibly distraught. She came.
Obviously, he was very wrong.
Right.
Is this
all
this mock away and have occur, could be followed through all the steps positively, even with this Hester upon him?
Yeah. Yeah, because you have more of a call. You can't articulate it. You don't understand what's going on. We don't understand the Derech Hashem. If there's Ha'aretz Panim, then it's all clear. You have less of a call. You just talk, because everything's clear. Everything's easily understood. But when there's Hester Panim, so you have the call, and then that's when we ask Hashem, Milfanacha Malkinu Reikam Al Teshuvenu, don't allow me to feel like there's complete Hester Panim. Show me a little bit, a glimpse, something to keep me, to maintain my dveikas, my kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shimon says, Hainu shanu modim sha'ata malkeinu, we acknowledge that Hashem is, Malfanacha malkeinu, in the fact that we're asking Hashem not to make us feel totally disconnected, we acknowledge you're my king. You acknowledge that Hashem is the king. Because if you're not, right, if you come to, you go to, what's the Prime Minister of Canada's Trudeau? Is that still? So you go to him. Can you wipe away my income tax this year? Sure, I'd love to. But you have no shaychus to him. He has no relationship. You come before God and you ask for something. It's because I acknowledge you are the address. You can solve this for me. You can help me through this. And therefore we say, before you, God, even though Hashem is the Melech Ha'olam, and in all the other brachas, we also say that. And he's also the king over the non-Jews as well. Nonetheless, the malchus is specific, is unique to us. And with that special relationship, we say, don't let us walk away, reikam al teshivenu. And the request is not that we shouldn't leave empty-handed entirely, but rather, afal pi shekol chelek me'atfila shemiskabel zeharbe. There's a lot that we're saying. Mikol makom, al kol chelek she'eino miskabel, yesh b'zeh hashavas reikam al osa chelek. We walk away a little bit empty with that peace that we feel like Hashem isn't answering. And the Avudraham says, Ratzalomar, Im lo zachinu harbe, if we haven't merited to receive the response that we're asking for, al tachzirinu reikam mikol. Don't let us leave empty-handed from everything. At least let there be something that Hashem says yes to. V'chol v'aseh lanu k'tsas min b'akashasenu. Give us a little bit. So we ask for lots of things. We ask for meslicha, mechila. We ask for Hashem to be chonein das. We ask Hashem for parnasa. We ask Hashem for refuah. So, at a minimum, if you're walking away from davening at the end of davening, you're finishing Shmona Esrei, Hashem's giving you a refuah. He's allowing you to remain alive. If you have what to wear, you have something to eat, shachar, smin chamarev, whatever it is, that itself is an answer. We don't perceive it that way because we kind of take it for granted. We know that we have food in the fridge. But we have food in the fridge. That's a bracha. So we're asking Hashem to not send us away completely empty-handed. Maybe that big thing that we're asking for, whether it's for ourselves, whether it's for others, maybe that we don't have right now. But at least the other stuff. Nonetheless, tzas kasha, lama anu poskim be'efsharis shelo yishma hakol. Why do we open with the possibility that Hashem is not going to hear this voice, this primal call? And so that is the bracha of Shema Kolenu. Yeah.
I don't know how many
Sephardim
in
the
Na?
Well, this is the tefillah. It's the tefillah for tshuva, right? Okay, you're okay. I got it. It's the tefillah where we ask for lots of things. So in the process of making ourselves worthy, kaparas avonos, we ask for slicha. So this, you have to see in the, it says the Chayi Adam, why it's here and not there. But the Ataha Hu Hashem Elohim, it's a bracha for, it's a tefillah for parnasa. And on Tisha B'Av we add Nachemin at this point, and we add Anenu at this point. This is where we put in all the things that we're davening for.
Does anybody address these specifically?
I haven't. It's not in the. It's not really the gears. It's not the text of davening. So at some point the Chayi Adam might. If you want to look up the Chayi Adam later, but it's not actually in the text of Shmoneh Esrei. So it's not going to be addressed by the Mefarshim on the Siddur. Rav Volbe Zatzal explains that this is the last bracha that really is, as you said before, encapsulates everything. Hashem should accept and respond to all of the specific brachos of das, of tshuva, of slicha, refuah, parnasa, right? So, but why do we have to end off that Hashem should hear all these tefillos? We just said that. Do we need to daven to Hashem that He should hear our tefillos? Did He not hear the preceding brachos? And if we have to ask Shema Koleinu that Hashem should hear it, then really we should say after Shema Koleinu that Hashem should hear the bracha of Shema Koleinu. It would seem ein l'davar sof. You'd never really be able to finish this section of davening. Furthermore, if Hashem doesn't hear and respond to all of our tefillos until we ask for it, we have to say Shema Koleinu on all the brachos that we just said. At the end, in the Nitzach Sfard, Ki Ata Shemeya Tefilas Kol Pe Amcha Yisrael Berachamim. And if, so what does this really mean? So he says, if we pay attention to the bracha, so we see that it's not only an encapsulating bracha, it's really a bracha for rachamim, for mercy. Shema Koleinu Chus V'Rachim Aleinu V'Kabel B'Rachamim U'V'Ratzon Es Tefilasenu Ki Ata Shemeya Tefilas Amcha Yisrael Berachamim. And Nosach Svard begins the bracha with Av Haracham on Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. So there's a lot of rachmanas. We're asking for a lot of mercy. So we're asking Hashem to deal with us with the midah of racham, with the midah, the trait, the attribute of mercy. And Hashem should accept our tefillos with mercy, not just with din. The Chazon Ish once walked, you're going to love this. He walked up to a Jew, and he says to him, "Mina mina 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 mina." You've heard this?
No.
You know where it's going. So the man says, "B'mchilas kvod harav, I don't understand. What are you? It's unintelligible." The Chazon Ish is an Adam Gadol. He was a Gadol Adar. The Chazon Ish says again, "Mina mina 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 mina." Doesn't understand. So he says to him, when you're davening, that's what you sound like. You're just a bunch of mana, 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 mana. Nobody understands what you're saying. So the person says, "What do you mean?" When a mother hears her baby say gaga, goo goo, or make these noises, so she also knows what he's saying. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also understands. I say mana, 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 mana. Hashem responds. So the Chazon Ish says, could be. But nonetheless, it's still better to say clearly and articulate the words that you can understand what you're saying. Maybe it enhances your kavana. The Gra also explains this difference between, I meant to put this in at the beginning. I'm sorry, it's a little bit out of order right now. The Gra also is mechalik, differentiates between dibur and kol. He says dibur is kisha'ada mazbiras kavanoso veritzono. A person's able to articulate what his intent is. Whereas kol is kol devarim, ava below tam vehezber. It's a sound, it's a call, but it doesn't really have a reason or an explanation. And so when you hear a kol ba'alma, when you hear a sound, you don't necessarily understand exactly what it is. Because again, two people can make the same sound and have different intentions. So therefore, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear the call. He says, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah, Shema bekola. Whether you understand it or you don't understand it, you better listen to her. She's a wise woman. Ekev asher Shema Avraham bekoli. Right? Avram Avinu responds, Hashem understands, and Avram does whatever it is that Hashem asks him to do. Leave your house and bring your son to the Akedah. Lots of things. He doesn't understand it. It's not Dibor that he's able to discern the svara, the reason for it. It's a call. He hears the call of Lech Lecha, he goes. He doesn't understand why. He doesn't know where the ultimate destination is going to be, but that is a faithful servant. And so Avram went, and he did all these things, Shema Bakoli, even if he didn't understand. And this is the intention, says Revolbi, of what Shema Kolinu really means. Mirov tirdus upizer hanefesh, from all the things that distract us in life, that distract our focus from our avodas Hashem, kasha lanu ma'od lehispalel, es kol hatfila bekavana ubeomek halev. It's difficult for us to have kavana. Think about, we had kavana for this first bracha of Shmona Esrei. That's really important. And then somewhere along the line, a couple minutes later, you're now holding a Shema Koleinu. Did you have kavana every single word for every single bracha? Maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe no. It depends on the day. The kach gam kasha lanu lefarid ulesader es kol tzarkenu bakashasenu kiroi. It's difficult for us, even if you have kavana. So that means that you're focused on every word that's written in the Siddur. And now we're asking you to have kavana for the Jews in Israel, the Jews in Syria, the Jews by Lebanon, the Jews in California, the Jews in Pittsburgh, the Jews in France, the Jews in Australia. You have all these kavanas in mind and you're focused on the words? That's very challenging. So we say, kol. All we ask is that Hashem should hear this voice. But it's like a child, he says, who's able to articulate its needs without having all the understanding. And so we say, Shema Kolinu, Hashem is the Rachaman. Berachamecha HaRabim. We ask Hashem to respond with great mercy, because it's the mercy that allows him to understand. That's not a call of somebody who's doing okay. That's somebody who really needs something. It needs my attention. It's crying out to me in pain. Out of sincerity, to kabbal afilu es olsan chalkei atfila she'enon ele bevichinas kol. I couldn't have kavana. I'm too distracted. I'm too distraught over something that happened today. I literally can't focus my mind. I can't have kavana. Hashem, you put me in this situation, and now I can't focus on my davening. But I ask you, listen to my call. Listen to my plea. What a powerful idea. So we'll stop there for tonight. It gets into a little bit more about we can get into why rachamim is so important. Well, maybe we'll pick up with that next week, Be'ezus Hashem. The idea of why is rachamim the focal point, and we'll go forward into Ritzei, Ritz Hashem.